Cop Radio.
This, I guess, would be my first attack on Joe Lockhart. But he said some stuff I didn't like, so I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. Page 5A, January 31st edition of the U.S. Whore Today. Big headline, experts look ahead to president's second term. Advisors to Bush and Kerry discuss last year's campaigns, Iraq, and where the U.S. is headed. And they had a whole bunch of crap in there. You know, I don't like it when one of our guys and one of their guys get together and they have a good old time. I just don't like that. I'm not saying they have to be enemies. I'm not saying they have to be mean to each other or scream insults at each other. But, you know, for instance, when Vernon Jordan and James Baker went to have cocktails and discuss the rules for the presidential debate in 2004, I don't like that. I don't like that at all, because you know they're going to have a few drinks and they're going to have a good old time. And I assume Vernon Jordan was acting on orders from Kerry when he says the last thing we want to do is to have any accountability of the murdering president. So Vernon Jordan, to some degree, was just following orders. But I don't like it when they get so chummy. The question from the U.S. Whore Today is, behind the scenes, can each of you tell us one anecdote from the campaign, something we don't know? Lockhart said, we had a fundamental problem going on that started about 10:30 election night. This was going on hour after hour, where the people in Washington were calling us and saying, this looks like it's going south, we're going to lose. And the people in Ohio were saying, it's closing up, we're getting closer, don't do anything, don't concede. It's probably about 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, I started looking around the room for someone to solve this crisis. And I found Tom Kiley, who is a very smart pollster, one of the four we had. Oh, how smart a pollster could he be if you guys couldn't tell you were way the hell behind? I knew it in August. How come your extremely smart pollster couldn't tell you anything in November if Treehouse Bart knew it in August? Joe, I think you're lying to me, and I don't like that. Tom correctly realized that the people in Ohio had made an error in math, and it was a very simple error. In the matter of about 15 seconds, the last hope we had was gone, because the people in Ohio had simply made a very honest error. And it was at that point when we realized that this was going south and we were going to lose. Again, I knew it in August. Nobody wanted to hear it, but it was just as plain as it could fucking be. Kerry was going to lose this. He didn't have a chance. The closest he got was during the debates, but nobody cared that Bush was an idiot that couldn't answer a question and that Kerry seemed to have a grasp of the issues. Nobody cared. They liked Bush. So the problem was, it was now 2:30 a.m. Senator Kerry had gone to sleep, so we decided not to concede that night. So we had to sit up and look at each other for 7 or 8 hours, knowing at that point on we were losing. Joe, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you have your people send me an email and say, Bart, do we have a chance to win this? And I could answer you, no, not under your present course. You have no chance at all to win this election until Kerry throws a counterpunch. You can't sit there and take 1,000 punches and never return a punch and expect to win. Joe, I don't like being lied to. I don't like being lied to by anybody. I don't care if it's a Clinton staffer. I don't care if it's a Kerry man. I don't care if you're one of the brightest minds in the Democratic Party. You're lying to me. You're lying to your party. You're lying to yourself. You probably lied to Kerry. You had four pollsters to tell you that you had a chance to win? Are you kidding me? It was after midnight before your pollsters, these smart people, these experts, knew you were going to lose? Jesus, Joe, how do you get paid? Who's paying you for this good advice if you don't know a damn thing 4 months later than I knew it, and I'm nobody?
No more speed, I'm almost there. Gotta keep cool now, gotta take care. Last car to pass, here I go. And the line of cars drove down real slow. And the radio played that forgotten song. Apparently it's coming on strong. And the newsman sang his same song. Oh, one more radio. Comfort coming in.
800-449-8686.
Well, we're very proud of that.
I imagine you are. We're with Roland Schwinn. He's the headmaster of Collier School. It is a K-12 school in North County, San Diego. And you have been nominated for the North American Education Council's prize, is that it?
The prize, Phil, is the Educator's Idea of the Future Award.
Educator's Idea of the Future, and it carries a cash prize of $50,000. And also by the Educators Conference on Scholastics.
That is correct.
All right. Your idea, and for those of you just joining us, there's a radical concept that, Mr. Schwinn, probably you ought to present to us. This is respected by educators.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that it's respected by educators. I think the important thing that we have to think about is that SAT scores in California and across America have been flattening.
SAT scores, is this a test taken by juniors and seniors?
That is a test taken by juniors and seniors. That is correct. There was a time, and I'll just tell you a little anecdote, Phil. There was a time when being a California educator meant that you were almost like a rock star. I would go to teacher conferences across the country and everywhere across the United States of America. We were acknowledged. We, the California teachers, were acknowledged as the best in the country. Our schools were acknowledged as the best in the country. That has changed a little bit.
Well, these SAT scores are flattening, but let's talk about your proposal before the National Educators Conference on Scholastics to reward students for good grades using sex.
Let me back that up.
You acknowledge that's primarily...
That is at the very matrix of the idea, but let me back that up. We've been seeing these flattening SAT scores. It used to be that California educators were the cream of the crop, were the envy of the country. I have gone to 3 consecutive conferences now, and I don't even get so much as a drop dead or a go to hell or how are you, nothing. Now that to me is shocking. Whereas 10 years ago, I would be acknowledged. Oh, you're from California? Are you a teacher? I'd say, are you from California? Yes. Please, take my chair. Please, can I buy you a drink? These kinds of things.
So you guys, at California schools, obviously, I was educated in California, so I know it's a very prestigious thing.
That is correct. Now, I can't get anybody to pick up a drink. These are the things that we're talking about. But beyond that...
Well, forget about whether anybody's going to pick up a drink, because...
No, I understand that. But what I am saying is we do need to get our SAT scores up.
But you are proposing rewarding 15-year-olds on up, and if I'm reading this directly, with sex. You propose to introduce kids 15 on up to sex in exchange for good grades.
That was my original intent, and it has been ratified, I'd like to say, by 300 educators at the high school and middle school level across this country.
So your idea to reward kids who get good grades, we're talking about junior high, middle school?
No, we are talking, and please don't twist my words, we are talking about juniors and seniors. That if they, and it can be a sliding scale, if they get certain grades, good grades, intercourse, and forgive me, I don't know the a blowjob, I don't...
Please, you see, what we have to do now is, because we're getting into some delicate areas, okay?
I understand that.
Please just say sex. Now, I understand there's a sliding scale that is...
My mistake, forgive me.
That's fine. There's a sliding scale. Ratified by 300 teachers and the National Council on Educators Conference on Scholastics.
Yes, and I have been nominated for the Future Idea of the Year Award. This is...
Well, it'll never happen.
I beg your pardon?
It's never going to happen. You can just, in my opinion, sir, your idea to reward high school students with sex if they get good grades, no parent in the world is going to go for it, and giving the kids the right to have sex for good grades, and probably it's probably going to strike some as the height of societal decadence. Okay.
Well, the problem is, though, they may not have to allow it if educators allow it. See, we are faced with
whatever that's supposed to mean.
Well, let me explain. We are faced with.
What are you saying? That you're going to let the kids have sex, and even the parents say no?
The parents, right now as an educator, we are in a rock and a hard place. I get phone calls from these Neanderthal parents who think they've got the answers to everything. I've got their stupid kid in my class. You see what I'm saying?
So in other words, you just go right ahead and let the kid have sex with or without the parents?
If that's what we have to do, yes.
Well, let me inform you then of this, that there is a law against pandering in the state of California. It's a felony, and it's a law against contributing to the delinquency of minors. And
that's a law that won't be enforced.
Why?
Because the state of California is reliant on federal money for education. California is not going to enforce a law that is going to keep the SAT scores down. And if the other states know what's good for them, they are going to begin to reward their students, and I say yes, reward them with some form of intercourse or manual manipulation sexually, some kind of...
Okay, we can just say sex, because again...
Forgive me, but this is very important.
So you're going to go over the head of parents, you're going to go around the law, and you're going to do this, right?
This is something we have proposed, and if I win the Future Idea Award, which I anticipate that I will, at this year's seminar in Denver, Colorado, come November, yes, I will endorse this for the state of California.
This is a very radical idea. We're talking with Roland Schwinn. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And he is proposing that students are rewarded for their good grades with sex. Juniors and seniors, correct, sir?
Juniors and seniors, yes.
You know,
kids get good grades and learn hands-on sex education with our proposal. It is revolutionary. It is radical. But that is why I have been nominated. And again, I want to stress, I've been...
Yeah, nominated for the Future Idea of the Year Award by the National...
Well, please don't minimize what is something I'm very proud of.
Sir, forgive me, I know that you're proud of that. All right, what about health? Who are they having sex with?
This is something that can be answered at our teachers' conference and seminar.
We'll answer it here. Who are they having sex with?
We can provide surrogates. These students can elect to have sex with each other. Certainly health is a consideration, and we do provide whatever protection.
You are going to have a whole-scale revolution on your hands if you provide sex for students from parents, from church groups.
Mr. Henry?
No, from parents, from church groups, and from the students themselves, I would imagine. Some students are not going to go for this.
We have been dealing for years with the Neanderthal attitudes of parents. We have been dealing for years with the Neanderthal attitudes of church groups, and certainly we've been dealing for years with the precocious notions of our students. This is something that we can handle. I don't want to offend anyone, but you might as well be asking me to swat a fly, because it...
Oh, swatting a fly. You'll just be swatting a fly. Now, I've just got the facts here. Sliding scale. If you get an A, sexual intercourse. Is that correct?
That is what we're proposing at this year's summit. Now, we may ratify that for our convention in June.
Well, never mind where it's going to happen, but that B for manual manipulation.
You don't want me to use masturbation.
Now, never mind, but that's what you're saying, right?
That is what we're proposing. Now, again, I've been nominated for the National Scholastic...
Educator, I got the whole thing. I got to take a break and forgive my anger, okay?
Well, your anger is understandable. I think it's a little bit unprofessional.
Well, then forgive me, sir, but you're on my program proposing... See, I'm a parent, okay? I got a 15-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
You got a 15-year-old son?
Yes.
I would think he would endorse and welcome this.
The gal in this mountain,
if you think that your kid is not ready for certain kinds of environmental stimulation, I think it's okay to talk about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. The
death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. Death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. Progress must end. I've come here tonight to report to all Americans they are mistaken. They have endorsed representative government, and we've taken steps to correct them. Human beings will not be tolerated. Such an opportunity. Death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. It is the commitment of our government and my personal commitment to wear out the patience of Americans. Our desire to be safe from brutal and bullying oppression will fade and die away. We must keep our focus. Death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. Death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. The return of tyranny is right and just. We want its words to have meaning. We'll deny civilized behavior, a base of operation, and export more violence. Progress must end. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to achieve our goals. Chaos is necessary. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to ensure our money is spent wisely and effectively. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to achieve our goals. Chaos is necessary. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to ensure our money is spent wisely and effectively. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to achieve our goals. Chaos is necessary. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos. 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 Death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. Death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. Death of democracy. We must keep our focus. Death of democracy. Progress must end. Death of democracy. We must keep our focus. Death of democracy. Progress must end. The world has a clear interest in the spread of democratic values, and we won't allow it. A civil society will cease to exist. A harsh society in which women are voiceless is an essential commitment of our strategy. Death of democracy. Death of democracy. Death of democracy. Death of democracy. Dictatorship is a massive undertaking. The total control of every person, understood by all. But my fellow Americans, they're proud people. They know that retreat before a dictator will be respected. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the billions, or is it trillions, that Bush is going to steal from Social Security. The Democrats are too afraid to say anything. That pisses me off. Big headline, February 2th, Wednesday, U.S. Horror Today. Economists back idea of private accounts raise issues. Now see, here we go again. This is Barbara Hagenbaugh is the whore in question. She wrote the article. Of course, you don't know if she wrote the headline. The headline was probably written by a different whore. But check out the headline. Take away the raise issues. What does raise issues mean? It means absolutely nothing in the context of this headline. So the headline basically reads, economists back idea of private accounts. So the person glancing at the paper say, well, hell, if the economists say Bush has got great ideas about stealing Social Security, well, then what are the Democrats doing getting in his way again? The Democrats always getting in the way. But then when you read the story, you get a 100% different view. Here we go, Washington. When Bush pitches his desire to partially privatize Social Security and State of the Union address tonight, he'll have one group of supporters behind him, economists. That is a lie. And then just in a couple paragraphs, they're going to explain what a lie that is. In response to a survey by USA Today in January, nearly three-quarters of 53 economists said they support private accounts, but their support wasn't without caution. Three-quarters, including many who said they supported privatization, said they were somewhat or very concerned about the potential impact that funding the plan could have on the stock market. And several economists offered caveats for their support, arguing partial privatization needed to be constructed so that the workers don't blow their money on stocks and fly-by-night companies or seek a bailout if the investments go awry. Others argued private accounts would be only a partial solution to the Social Security fund issue, not the total answer. So, see, now we're getting some details. The big giant headline, economists back the idea of private accounts, is false. They only back it under certain conditions. Some economists in the survey, including some who said they were against privatization, worked for investment firms that could gain from private accounts depending on how the programs were structured. Well, now there you go. The economists that they asked, they worked for Morgan Stanley. So, and they asked them, you think that's a good idea? Well, of course they do. They would love to triple their business or 10 times their business. Whatever money is invested in the stock market now, add Social Security to that, and you're talking about a whole lot more money than any of these guys have ever handled before. That's not even debatable. And it turns out the guys, would you like to handle an extra $5 trillion at your firm? Yes, we would, the answer came back. Well, we're all shocked now, aren't we? Ken Malin, president of Clearview Economics, a research and forecasting firm, argues private accounts will give workers some control over their savings. Yes, they would be free to screw it up. People have something that they can call their own, whether rich, poor, it's yours, he said. Oh, please. Granted, Social Security doesn't put a lot of money in your pocket, but it's a guarantee. You play the stock market and see what kind of guarantee you have. It's the same poker analogy. 7-8 people sit down at a poker table. By the time it's over, one guy, if it's a tournament, is going to leave with all the money. That means the other 7 did not leave with all the money. That's what Bush is setting up. They're just robbing everybody blind. Doesn't anybody care? The Republicans, they've got parents and grandparents and some friends and brothers and sisters that are on Social Security, and they're about to get screwed. Doesn't anybody care? The Republicans are, I guess if they're rich enough, they don't care if their kids get Social Security or not. If you're a Republican and you're stealing millions or billions now, you don't really have to worry about the future, do you? Bush doesn't have to worry. Those Bush twins, they're going to be well taken care of. Bush is stealing $100 million a day. I don't think his daughters are going to need any Social Security when they get old. They can't spend $100 million a day. Paris Hilton times 100 can't spend $100 million a day. You just can't do it. So the Bush is going to be taken care of. And I can't believe the whore USA, I do, but the whore USA Today and the Democrats are all going along with Bush's idea to screw everybody. Jeez, it's almost like I have a negative point of view. But someone tell me, what company is safe to invest your Social Security money in? Is Coca-Cola? Is Merck? Is Walmart? Is Microsoft? Is IBM? Which company are you going to put your future in? Which of those companies is going to be solvent and ready to give you a bunch of cash in the year 2060? Which of those companies are you going to bet your future food with? I don't know. I would much rather have, by then, let's say in the year 2040, if you had your choice between getting, say, $2,500 a month or gambling with Johnson & Johnson or Merck or Ford or Intel. Would you rather have the guarantee or would you rather gamble? You're gambling with your food. Do you want to have guaranteed food or do you want to gamble with your food? Doesn't it really boil down to that? Do you want to guarantee that you have housing and medicine and food when you're old or would you rather gamble? I'm a gambler. I don't gamble on that stuff. I don't gamble with my food. I don't gamble with my house. Oh, it's unbelievable. And the Democrats are just sitting there. And you watch tonight, I don't even know if I'm going to, I guess it's my job to watch the speech, but it's going to be hard to do. But when the speech is over, every network is going to chime in with, what a great speech, what a bold vision for the future. Oh, we're so glad that Bush got reelected because he's taking this country and solving the problems and spreading democracy and fixing the world. Oh, it's just so great what Bush has done. And the $100 million a day and the 1,400 dead soldiers, wow, we don't need to talk about that. That's not godly. And godly Bush was sent here to save us from the Clinton era. All that peace and prosperity was just making us soft anyway. At least now we have a cause to fight for again, like finding food for tomorrow. Oh, thank God that Bush came to save us.
Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First the guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. Give me the hell away from this TV.
What the hell is a Bart Cop? If you don't know, you're not listening.